Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to another Travel Itch Radio, the show that lets you scratch your lust for travel from the friendly confines of your home. I'm Roger Noriega, pinch-hitting for regular host Don Schlossberg, along with co-host Anita Stokes-Thomas. Every week at this time, we bring you inside the world of travel, from hotels and tours to cruise ships, planes, trains, and things you can eat or read on your trip. Listen live on iTunes or on blogtalkradio.com, or check out the show later on Facebook, on blogtalkradio.com, or on Dan's website, www.danschlossberg.net. Tonight, we devote the 331st episode of Travel Itch Radio to an American celebration, the 50th anniversary of the Apollo 11 lunar landing on July 20th, 1969, 2 days from today. Everybody remembers where they were when Walter Cronkite announced the Eagle has landed at 4:17 p.m. Eastern Time on July 20th, 1969. It was only the second time I ever saw him get emotional. The first time was when he had to announce the death of President Kennedy after the assassination on November 22nd, 1963. Anita, do you remember where you were?
I knew you were going to ask me that. I just knew it. And I would have to now let everyone know my age. Yes, I do remember where I was, especially with the Kennedy assassination. That even stands out a little bit more than the lunar landing. The Kennedy assassination in 1963, I was actually in the first grade, and I just remember all of the adults running around really nervous and scared. You didn't know what was going on, but I remember it like it was yesterday for sure.
Wow, Anita, I appreciate that. I was joking with Anita just before we went live, because, of course, this is Dan's program, and I am pinch-hitting in every which way. And I was, as I told Anita, I was 3 months old, or just about, when the Eagle had landed at Tranquility Base. But there we go. Play along. I think you'll enjoy what we have. But there's so much going on to mark the big anniversary. Did you know that there's going to be a giant leap celebration at Cape Canaveral with the world's largest moon pie? I hear moon pie, and I think of Sheldon, but that's neither here nor there. It weighs 55 pounds, measures 6 feet by 40 inches, includes 6 pounds of chocolate. Oh, chocolate. And tons of marshmallow. And here's the best part. 45,000 calories.
Oh, my goodness. I hope more than one person is going to eat that. That's all I have to say. But for those moon pie lovers, hey, you better jump in on that one. That sounds delicious. But it sounds like fun, too. I love the idea of having a moon pie. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, no doubt.
But since Travel Itch Radio is all about a travel show, we probably should jump in and start telling them a little bit about what's going on. And there's a new museum at the Houston Manned Space Flight Center that looks exactly like Mission Control on July 20th, 1969. Even the ashtrays and cigarettes are there, but, of course, you know, we can't smoke indoors anymore now. That's not allowed. But they still have it set up just like it was. I think that's pretty cool, too.
Heck yeah, no doubt. There's a lot going on in Cape Canaveral as well. Tomorrow will be the first date of issue of the new first moon landing forever stamps. And Saturday, Madame Tussauds in Orlando is introducing a Neil Armstrong wax figure with his helmet tucked under his arm.
Yeah, I must say that I can also remember, I talked about the Kennedy assassination, I can also remember when Neil Armstrong stepped foot on the moon and he said, "One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind." And those words they continue to be pretty powerful. But actually, that was a garbled transmission. He actually said, "One small step for a man, one giant leap for mankind." So almost the same, but a little different.
It's a good thing that's all that went wrong that day. I heard the astronauts were laying odds of their success and came up with 60% likely, 40% unlikely. Oh, man. They knew. Well, look, let's put it this way. We're not talking about two kids racing down the freeway. Not that I endorse that, but they definitely knew they were taking their lives in their hands. Now, Neil Armstrong was the first man to walk on the moon. but Buzz Aldrin followed. There was a third astronaut, too. We know him, Michael Collins, but he was piloting their orbiting spacecraft. At one point, all transmission was lost, and Collins was truly alone, unable to see or talk to anyone. And remember, yeah, well, I definitely do. Those were the days before cell phones.
I know. I can't even imagine there were days before cell phones. They're so much a part of our lives now. But, you know, Neil Armstrong is no longer with us, but Buzz Aldrin and Michael Collins are still alive and kicking. And they're in the U.S. Astronaut Hall of Fame at the Rocket Garden in Kennedy Space Center. Wow, that's a tongue twister, but it's definitely something to check out.
There's a great statue of Armstrong, Aldrin, and Collins in their spacesuits at the Moon Tree Garden in Cape Canaveral. It's called the Moon Tree Garden because it features 12 trees grown from seeds that orbited the moon on Apollo 11. I am a armchair historian. I've read about many things, especially about the moonshot, and I didn't know that. And I thank Dan for that. It's cool. The trees came from space. That is neat.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I didn't know that either. That's a pretty cool thing to know. Grown from seeds that actually orbited the moon on Apollo 11. That's pretty cool.
Heck yeah.
I wonder if they're still around. I guess they are. They're still there in the Moon Tree Garden.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
yes,
that's pretty cool. 50-year-old trees,
I'd like to go one day. Yeah, I would love to check it out.
Now, people always will always remember July 20th when they think of the moonwalk, but the mission actually blasted off on July 16th and returned on the 24th. So there are lots of travel time that was involved there. And we love travel. Talk about a long trip in terms of getting to your destination. On July 24th this year, the Kennedy Space Center will have a welcome home celebration, and they will feature footage from the splashdown, special kids programming, and a whole lot more. And that sounds like a lot of fun as well.
Oh, yeah. Everything's happening on the East Coast. Nothing's happening out here on the West Coast. But I do want to take a quick moment. I am thrilled. We have numerous callers in the queue, and some actually want to come in, and I think they want to share some of their thoughts. And I'm gonna ask the callers to bear with us. Yes. We're going to go on a little bit. We'll probably get to the break in just a few minutes because we're running ahead. But callers, I thank you. We're going to get you. Stay with us. Okay? Now, this is, even though I'm on the West Coast, this is still really close to my heart. There's even going to be a special ceremony at Yankee Stadium in New York. On July 20, 1969, a Saturday afternoon game was stopped at 4:17 p.m. when Bob Shepard, the legendary public address announcer, announced that the Eagle had landed. The that day crowd of nearly 33,000 fans watched as players sat on the field at their positions and everyone focused on the scoreboard where they were showing the telecast from the moon. The Yankee pitcher that day, Jack Aker, who is now 79, will return to Yankee Stadium the day after tomorrow to catch the ceremonial first pitch from astronaut Mike Massimo, while the team plays a record of Bob Shepard's historic announcement. Wow, that's an absolutely awesome tie-in. And of course, we know baseball has great connections. I wish I were New York, but I'm not. That is cool that they're going to be playing that again, 50 years to the day. Wow. As we know, baseball has great connections to the moonwalk, and there is this great story. It is well known. We're not making this up. We've known this in baseball history. In 1962, Giants manager Elvin Dark told pitcher Gaylord Perry he was such a bad hitter that the day he hit a home run would be the day man walked on the moon. Sure enough, ladies and gentlemen, more than 7 years later, Gaylord Perry hit the first of his 8 career home runs, and the Perry brothers, Gaylord and Jim, won 3 games apiece. Wow. Man, I am thrilled if I tell a fellow coworker, hey, can you get that done by 12 o'clock tomorrow? And if it's done, wow, I'm a prognosticator. But nothing like that.
I know. I love that.
I love that story. It's really going around the internet right now, which is really cool. But here we go. I also remember a quote from Bob Feller, the Hall of Fame pitcher who pitched 3 no-hitters but 12 one-hitters. He said, pitching a no-hitter is like being the second man on the moon. Ouch! But we'll talk about Bud Aldrin in a moment. You're listening to Travel Itch Radio with Roger Noriega and Anita Stokes-Thomas. Find the archive show on blogtalkradio.com or check out Travel Itch Radio on Facebook. Remember, we're also on iTunes. So, Anita, whenever you'd like, you let me know. We can go to some callers, but I know Dan does a great job in doing this program for us. So it's your call at this point because we still have several callers on. So I leave it to you.
Sure. Why don't we check and see what the callers have to say?
All right. We'll do that right now. And we have someone, by the way, I believe I know who it is, and I'm still looking forward to it, calling from the 845 area code. Caller, remember, you know the drill. Let us know who you are and where you hail from. You're live on, I was about to say Monday Night America. Actually, it's Travelers Radio.
Hey, Roger, it's Zeke from the Hudson Valley.
Oh, good afternoon, Zeke. How are you doing, young man? Calling in from New York. What's going on?
I saw it posted on Facebook, and I figured I'd call and listen. I love all your baseball
I appreciate that,
memories
Zeke.
Of it.
Zeke, do you
remember
when they landed on the moon?
Well, I was about 5, and well, I remember my dad took his 8mm camera, and we have it on 8mm film.
Wow, so you have it?
Cool.
Do you still have it? That film? I'm going to say that video.
It's transferred to DVD now.
Oh my goodness!
Are you planning?
Wow.
Are you planning
okay.
to post it on social media or do anything like that?
I have to find it first. We got stuff back away. Just a quick thing on the heartbeats of the astronauts. On launch, Neil Armstrong's was 91. And on the landing on the moon, he was a little bit, not as Mr. Cool, 135.
Whoa. That
well,
is
you know,
cool,
with 16 seconds of fuel left, I would think he'd be a little nervous.
Yes.
Yeah,
absolutely.
No kidding.
Well, I think
right,
I would
Zeke,
have just
look,
been nervous in general.
we can only imagine what it was like. But, Zeke, I want to thank you. Stay on with us, please. Anita, if you're ready, we'll go ahead and continue. Zeke is also, from time to time, he has called in the past, and he has helped us out a great deal here on NDB Media. He's done his own programs, and I'm thrilled that you're joining us tonight, Zeke. Just stay on with us live, then. Anita, take us away, Anita.
Thanks for that call. That was great. Now, as a woman of color, I have to share this as well. I was thrilled to see the movie Hidden Figures, and I hope everyone has seen it. If you haven't, you still can, of course. It's out there. You can check it out. That came out several years ago, and it was all about a group of black women who were relegated to the menial jobs, but they got an unexpected chance to show off their mathematical and analytical skills. Because without them and without those skills that they had, Apollo 11 mission could not have succeeded. I mean, they kind of figured out all of the things that needed to be mathematically sorted out. They figured it out. And my regular Travel Itch Radio partner, Mr. Dan, said that he thought that the movie should have been voted Best Picture. And I agree with him on that one.
It was a wonderful movie. I believe it shared a lot to a lot of people that did not know. And it's the amazing thing of history. So many things have to come together for this to happen. And this is real. That story was phenomenal. And it was the bravery of everyone in the program that actually took to the air. But it was the bravery of these women that had to get the math right. Because if they didn't carry the one when they had to, these astronauts might not have made it back. Imagine what they were going through. Wow.
Yes.
Just amazing.
Just, it really is amazing. Just think of the, you know, the calm under all of that pressure that they had to have just to even work out the problems and get it all mathematically correct. That's a pretty amazing story. And I wasn't aware of that until some of the buzz around the movie started coming out. So fascinating. Makes you proud.
Oh, yes. I appreciate that, Anita. It makes you proud of who we are as human beings, that when we get together, amazing, incredible stuff happens, isn't it? It's just unreal.
Absolutely. Yes, that is so true. That is so true. It can be done.
Listeners, I bet you have to believe that all three of us here are believers that we landed on the moon. And that's as far as I'm going to go to everyone else that denies that we never made it there. The proof is in the pudding. The science is there. And the greatest meme of all time, 200,000 people. Congratulations to the 200,000 people that have kept the moonshot a secret. Or the fake landing. Yes. Congratulations to all of them that have kept it a secret. But anyway, listeners, thank you. Thank you for staying with us. For listeners who can't get to Houston, myself included, Cape Canaveral or New York, there are lots of special shows coming up over the next few days. Tonight at 9 Eastern, right after Travel Edge Radio goes off the air, TBS is showing 8 Days to the Moon and Back with conversations, archival footage, and a recreation of the lunar landing.
Well, you know, there's also a live special Saturday from 1 to 3 Eastern Time on the Science Channel, and it's called NASA's Great Leaps, Past and Future, with live on-location reports from the Kennedy Space Center, their visitor center there, the Apollo Saturn V Center, the National Mall in Washington, and Neil Armstrong's hometown in Ohio.
On Saturday night at 8 Eastern, Discovery brings us Apollo, the Forgotten Films, the story of the engineers and scientists and people behind the mission with never-before-seen footage from the NASA Research Center, National Archives, and news reports.
Well, there's so much going on because at 9 o'clock you can check out Moon Landing Live on BBC America, and it will feature worldwide news coverage of the lunar landing, plus NASA's footage, actual footage there. But my favorite comes on at 10 when Discovery Channel will air Confessions from Space, Apollo, hosted by the Explorer Club, and the show features Buzz Aldrin and Michael Collins. So there you go right there, the two survivors of Apollo 11, sharing their insights and telling personal stories. That is absolutely my favorite, to hear those personal stories, kind of human interest stories.
Oh, heck yeah. One thing I would like to see in person is the reimagined Apollo Saturn V Center, where new exhibits include the 1969 period living room and bar scene showing people watching the lunar landing. I do hope they save a drink for me, preferably on the rock, you know, moon rock.
That's so cute. I love that. Do we have any other callers?
As a matter of fact, we do have other callers, but callers, we've got two more. Let us know that you want in. We do appreciate that you're calling and listening. Remember, hit 1 on your keypad, on your phone keypad. We're live, folks. 1 on your keypad. Anita, what happens from time to time? Yeah, Zeke knows, and I'm sure you do as well. People do call in, and they just want to listen in because they're not at their computers or traveling or whatever. Come on, guys. I've got have one here in Southern California. Guys, come on.
Yeah.
Tell
us where you were and what you were doing 50 years ago.
They haven't hung up yet, so let me see. Caller from the 323 area code, you're live. Please don't be shy. Okay, they don't want to talk. All right, caller from 718, go ahead. All right. Okay. Fair enough. All right. But we do appreciate you listening, guys. Thank you. Yeah. We do have a little bit more time. We're running well ahead. I want to thank Dan for prepping us and having all these and just allowing us to rock on and have everything ready to go. Anita, share with me, if you would, and share with the audience. You remember it. My mom was holding me in her arms. I was almost 3 months old. And I love the fact that I was born just before the original Star Trek went off air. And then just a few months later, we're on the moon. Wow. Would you, Anita, share your memories?
Yeah, I mean, my memories, because I guess I was probably just about 9 or 10. And I can remember just sitting around the TV, and we're all looking, and they're saying that we're landing on the moon. And, of course, as a kid, you're trying to put that all together. What do you mean you're landing on the moon? I look out in the sky, and I see the moon all of this distance away in the sky. How could someone be landing on the moon? But you know what was interesting to me and still continues to be kind of interesting to me is all of the conversation around it was not really happening. So many people believe that the government was up to something and doing something, you know, that was not real to put together what looked like we were landing on the moon, but was out in Nevada, out in the desert somewhere. It wasn't really the moon. So I remember there being a lot of conversation and debate about that.
Wow.
You know,
all right. That's cool.
Let me get in here real quick. They have a commercial, actually, cartoon commercial, about that drink that they make gives you wings. Have you seen that? As the astronauts landing on the moon, and then they can't stay on the moon because they get wings. So they said, come back home, we'll record it, a fake one.
That's pretty good. I have not seen that one. I want to see that one.
Yeah, I'll be on the lookout for that one as well.
Oh. No, go ahead, Anita. I'm sorry. Remember, folks, there is a one-second delay. No, I'm not on the moon, but there is a one-second delay, so I do apologize. Go ahead, Anita.
Yeah, well, I am in Georgia. Sometimes the people will say that's another country or something. But I did want to mention that on the 50th anniversary of Neil Armstrong's small step on the moon, there's also going to be one giant projection on the Washington Monument. So for two nights later this month, the Smithsonian National Air and Space Museum will beam a full-scale 360-foot Saturn V rocket directly onto the monument while airing a 17-minute show on nearby screens that will tell the whole tale of Apollo 11's mission and the first moon landing. So it's titled Apollo 50, Go for the Moon. So definitely try and check that out as well. From July 16th through the 18th. When it's going to take place? 9:30.
I have a friend that's in the Washington area, and he went out in the morning, and he has pictures of exactly what you just described to us, which is really, really cool. I'm glad I was able to see them. Zeke, we have time, my brother. You were five.
You want little tidbits of information like I've been doing?
I would love the tidbits, but I would also like to hear you. You heard my story. Mama was cradling me. I know we were there, but that was it. What do you remember?
I know you were young, but what do you remember? I don't remember. I'm more from that 8mm film. I do remember that I did have a big interest in space from when I can remember, as far back as I can remember. So maybe that has something to do with it. I was getting all excited about watching it. I don't know.
I can definitely see that, yeah. To see something like that so young, it would definitely kind of make you interested in learning more about space, for sure.
I mean, I either wanted to be a baseball player or an astronaut.
Oh. Oh, yeah. Yeah, me too. Anita, sorry for interrupting, but I was listening to your story and describing when you were going through it, and I was imagining when you said, is something going on the moon? We can see it. What are they doing? Were you able to see the moon where you were? Were you able to see it when it was going on?
You know, that's a good question. I don't remember if it was night or day when it was actually happening where I was. I can't remember going out to see the moon at that time. I just remember later looking at the moon and just being curious about that. And, you know, there was always, too, the saying, well, at least I seem to remember hearing it more as a child, the man in the moon is what people would say.
Yes.
So I always connected those two things, too, as a child, that maybe, you know, with the astronauts going there, that's why there was a man in the moon.
You know what I would have loved to experience?
Oh, that's cool.
Was the Saturn V launch. That must be awesome.
Yeah. I would think so, yes.
Oh. Man, there is no ride like that. Zeke, we still have a few minutes. Do you have any other tidbits that you would like to share with us? Yes. That's
oh,
cool,
yeah.
Man.
Well, there's the one where I was lucky that Buzz Aldrin brought along a pen at the last minute because he needed it for launching from the moon. That rocket that they cannot test fire, its test fire is on the moon. Well, they broke the switch coming back in from the moon, you know, walking on the moon. He took that pen and they were able to launch because of that.
Yeah, I actually had heard of that. Anita, did you know about that story? That when they got back into the capsule? Yeah. Now, a little bit of trivia. Zeke, what kind of pen was it?
Oh, what kind of pen?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And I think this is now
Vic?
More of a joke, but very good.
Yeah.
I'm learning
now,
so much. I'm glad I'm on the show tonight.
Oh, I'm glad I'm here. I actually knew that one story, but I don't really know if it was a big pin. But you know what? It's a great story.
How about, you know, CNN had a great documentary on Sunday night a while back, and they did a great job of editing. But I heard the flight controllers were talking about another historic thing that happened during the flight, which was Ted Kennedy and Chappaquiddick. They said, did you hear about
Ted
Kennedy? Yeah. Is that the number one news story? I hope not.
That's funny.
I know. Certainly
All
it was
right.
the moon landing makes the best story. The lunar landing.
Yeah.
This has been great. So much great information.
Well, yeah, Zeke, do you have any more? Well, fair enough. Who knows, Zeke? Maybe we can do something on Saturday.
Yeah, I'm up for that.
Absolutely.
All right, well, fair enough. Well, we are down a few minutes, so Anita, if you would like to take us away.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, we're running out of time, but I want to thank you so much, Roger, for standing in and filling in for Dan while he covers the Baseball Hall of Fame induction weekend in Cooperstown, New York. That's where he is, so thanks for standing in for him.
Oh, no. Thank you. And thanks, Anita. It was fun talking about Apollo 11 and the moonwalk. Zeke, I want to thank you for joining us as well. But ladies and gentlemen and listeners, well, actually, no, one and the same, ladies, gentlemen, and listeners. When you're thinking about gifts for summer birthdays, graduations, or just beach reading, how about Dan Schlossberg's terrific book, The New Baseball Bible, his 424-page illustrated unorthodox history of baseball. It's not only the most unusual baseball book ever published, but it's 424 pages for less than a sawbuck. Such a deal. Order on Amazon.com today and have it in plenty of time as a gift for your favorite baseball fan or even yourself. And if you want an autographed edition, come to Dan's signing in Cooperstown, New York, in front of Willis Monet Rare Books from 11 to 1 on July 20th. Be there or be square. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's it for this edition of Travel It's Radio. Dan is back next week, so you don't have to suffer anymore with me. The special guest will be Charles Winters of Rocket City, Huntsville, Alabama. Same time, same station, same writer. Well, at least some of the same announcers. Oh, Dan? Now, this is Roger Noriega pinching for Dan Schlossberg, along with Anita Stokes, Thomas, and dare I say also Cliff Zeke Zier. Same thank
Yay!
You for your time this time. Until next time. And ladies and gentlemen, good night.
Thank you.